Good morning.
Good morning.
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Noah Mason. I have been attending this church all my life with my family, and now I am attending this church with my wife, Hannah. Currently, I am a student at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and I am majoring in pastoral studies. Due to COVID, me and my wife, Hannah, moved back up here to Sheboygan and are now studying online. After moving back up here, I became an intern here at the church, and that is why I have the opportunity to speak here this morning. So I assume everyone has seen a billboard, seen a TV ad, heard from a friend, heard from a parent, or heard from your driving instructor that texting while driving, bad, very dangerous, and is the cause of many accidents. And that's because you lose focus of the road. So that's what leads me to my illustration this morning. The other night, me and Hannah were driving out to my family's house for supper, and we were just a couple minutes away. We were on the backcountry roads. Hadn't looked at my phone the whole time, but as we were just a couple minutes away, my phone lit up, and I had gotten a notification. So without thinking, reached for my phone to check what it was. If I remember correctly, just a sports notification, so really not that important, and definitely could have waited. But anyway, I picked up my phone, looked at my phone, and took my focus away from the road. And when I looked back up, there was a deer directly in front of the car. Thankfully, I didn't hit the deer, but it was very, very close and could have been easily avoided. So in that situation, I lost focus of what was important. I lost focus of the road and instead turned my attention towards something else, something that could have led to great harm. So if I had remained focused on the road, I could have easily seen the deer, slowed down, and avoided the whole situation completely. So, just like I lost focus of the road, many people lose focus of eternity. They're distracted by the things of the world, and that is what Satan wants. He wants to keep people from focusing on the eternal. And the world is filled with tools by which he can accomplish this. He can use money, power, influence, and anything else you desire. For younger people, he can use popularity, video games, and social media. And those are just some of the big ones. But it doesn't matter how old you are, there will always be something that will try to take your attention away from eternity. And for us as Christians, this is still an issue, if not more so. Satan is trying his hardest to keep us from going to church and worshiping God. He is trying to cause distractions to keep you from doing your daily devotions. And he is trying to cause division in the church. Even within the church, Satan is fooling people into believing that godliness is a means of earthly gain. That by doing good, it will ensure that you receive earthly rewards. But what we need to remember, and the main point of this sermon this morning, is that to be godly, one must focus on the eternal. And as we will see shortly in our text, losing focus of eternity is not just a problem we deal with now, but was also something that the early church struggled with. So let's turn together to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we will read verses 3 through 10, and then 17 through 19. But as you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of background on the book. Paul is the author, and he is writing to Timothy, who was instructed to oversee the church in Ephesus. In 1 Timothy, Paul gives instruction and guidance on church life. And in our passage specifically, he's warning Timothy of false teachers. Okay, so let's go ahead and read. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pains. Now verse 17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is true life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together here today as a body of believers. We thank you that we can trust you and know that you are in control and sovereign during these troubling times. We thank you most importantly for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross and save us from our sins. This morning I ask that you please help me accurately interpret and preach your word today. And please help everyone here to be able to take something away from this message. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so our main idea today, as I mentioned before, is that to be godly, one must focus on the eternal. But how can we focus on the eternal? There are two actions we can take. The first action is that we can focus on the eternal by being content. So how can we be content? Well, it's not something you can just learn overnight. But contentment is something that grows and matures over time. It is something that will take time and energy to accomplish. And in Philippians 4, Paul says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So we see here that over time, Paul learned through his experiences to be content. And we will see that being content also provides great gain. So before we take steps towards contentment, in verse 3, we have to have a right view of godliness. We see that true godliness looks at Jesus' words and follows them. And here are some examples of some of the things that Jesus has told us to do. In John 13:34, Jesus says that we should love one another just as he has first loved us. And in Luke 12:15, Jesus says, "Take care and be on your guard against covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." So we see that a right view of godliness is following Jesus' instruction. We should love others and be content with what God has given us. And Jesus tells us that our lives are not just about what we do or do not own. We must be content. In order to reach contentment, we need to be living a Christ-centered life. A life that doesn't look for contentment in the abundance of possessions, but a life that finds contentment in Christ and what he has given us. So whether you have plenty or whether you have little, it is important to be content and focus on the eternal. When we focus on the eternal salvation that has been given to us and how we will praise the Lord for eternity, it becomes much easier to be content with what we have in this life. And we see that in verse 6, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And it is great gain because, as we see in the following verses, verses 7 and 8, they say, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." So when we are content, we realize that nothing in the world will last, and that what we have been given was given to us by God. Even though we might get rich in our time here on earth, we will not stay rich. So being godly and content doesn't provide us with earthly riches, but it provides us with heavenly riches and the right understanding that we need to focus on the eternal. So we just talked about how we can be content by living a Christ-centered life. But let's go back to verses 4 and 5 and see what they say a self-centered life looks like. We'll go ahead and read those. Talk about a person that has a wrong view of godliness. It says, "He is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words, which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. So we see that if we are not living a Christ-centered life and we are living a self-centered life, we will be filled with pride and constantly quarrel with others. We will become envious of others and believe that godliness is a means of earthly gain. We as Christians can easily slip into a self-centered life. We can easily become discontent with what we have. We might want a bigger house, nicer car, or a higher paying job. And that is why the prosperity gospel is so appealing to us as believers. It says that serving God and obeying Him will provide earthly wealth. That view of godliness is flawed, because as we learned, to be godly, one must focus on the eternal. And the first action we can take towards doing that is by being content. And now we'll move on to the second action, and that is we can focus on the eternal by striving for heavenly rewards. Okay, we are now going to look at verses 9 and 10 and verses 17 through 19. And these verses look at people that want to be rich and people that are rich. So we'll go ahead and read verses 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. So at first glance, it might seem like these verses are saying, stay away from money. It's terrible. It's only going to lead to harm. Now that is both true and false, because it is not the money itself that is sinful, but the attitude of the person that is desiring it. In verse 9, it says that those who desire fall into temptation, and that harmful desires plunge people into ruin. So it is not the money that is sinful, but the attitude of the person desiring it. Money can also be used in a godly way can be good. It helps provide us with our basic needs. And as we'll see later, it can be used to further the kingdom of God. As a pastor, Colin Smith from Illinois, he says, money is a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. Make sure you don't allow money to become your master. Don't let it be all you think about, because once it gets to that point, you will experience ruin and destruction in your life. You might start putting more hours into work to get a bigger paycheck or a raise, but then neglect God and your family, which over time will lead to pain and hurt. Or it could be something as simple as not giving money back to the Lord and thinking that you can save a few hundred dollars. If you've gotten to either of these points, money has become your master, and you are not striving for heavenly rewards. Now we'll look at verses 17 through 19. It says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes in the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So in these verses, Paul is addressing Christians that are wealthy. But he's not condemning their riches. Instead, he is challenging them to use their riches wisely. He says in verse 17, not to set your hope in your riches, because your riches cannot save you. They cannot bring you contentment or happiness. But instead, Paul says, to hope in God, who has provided you with everything you enjoy. Now, if you think about it, it's kind of weird to be setting your hope in something that God has given you. But unfortunately, because of sin, that is what we do all the time. We turn God's creation and His gifts to us into our idols. And one of those idols is money. So here in these verses, Paul is encouraging people that are wealthy to stay focused on God and eternity. In verse 18, Paul instructs those who are wealthy to use it for good, to share their wealth with those who have little. But when you give, make sure you do this in secret and not make it known to others. In Matthew 6, verse 2, Jesus says, "When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward." So, if you do give to the needy, and then announce to a group of friends or family that I gave X amount of money to so-and-so, you have received your reward, and that is the praise of those around you. But as Jesus says, do your giving in secret, so that the Lord alone might see it and reward you for it. By doing this, verse 19, you will lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You will take hold of that which is true life, eternal life. Now, you might struggle with desiring earthly wealth and possessions. You might struggle with being content with what God has given you, thinking that you need more. What you need to remember is that God will provide what you need, and you can be content with what you have, because no matter what you have on this earth, it will not compare to the eternal riches you will have in Jesus. Sometimes for me, it's hard to be content with what God has provided and be focused on the eternal. I live in a small apartment with a small selection in the fridge and not a lot to spare financially. But God has provided me with everything I need. I always had a roof over my head, clothes on my back, and there's not been a day where I've gone hungry. I have no need to be discontent with what God has given me. So, in conclusion, to be godly, one must focus on the eternal. And we can focus on the eternal by being content and striving for heavenly rewards. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have provided us with everything we need on this earth, Lord. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to spend eternity with you, and help us to remember that we do not need to worry about what we have or do not have on this earth. Please help us to focus our minds on eternity and be content with what you have provided us. Lord, we thank you this day and all you have given us. We pray this in your name. Amen.